So we're ready to start our meeting?
Yes.
So let's, I'm so, this, roll call?
Sure. Mr. Contreras?
Here.
Mr. Allison?
Here.
Mrs. Stiff?
Present.
Mr. Kennedy?
Here.
Mr. Edmund?
Present.
Mrs. Guerrero Numer?
Present. Here.
Now we'll utilize the flag of, pledge the flag. You all ready?
Mm-hmm.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We want to welcome all the visitors. We also like to remind everyone that our agendas and our supporting documents are on our website prior to the meeting, and they also are archived at a later view. So right now, first thing is, we have any public comments or on any agenda items?
I checked my email and I did not receive any public comment.
Very good. Oh, we have on a consent agenda. On our consent agenda, minutes. I'm looking at something different. I can't see. I got an old.
On the consent agenda, we have minutes from the November 17th board meeting, payroll, organization and activity, check register, and FOIA requests.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
A second.
Second. Roll call.
Mr. Edmund?
I can't see anything.
Mr. Edmund?
Yes.
Thank you. Mrs. Guerrero Numer?
Yes.
Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Okay, we have the superintendent report.
Yes.
Turn it over to Dr. Guzman.
Thank you. We don't have any correspondence at this time. And legislative report, we do not have any at this time. So I will let Mrs. McDonald just give a summary of the fall housing report.
Thank you, Dr. Guzman. If you look in your board packet on page 47 and 48, 47 is a summary of our fall housing report. So as of 10-1, October 1st, when we ran the student report for enrollment, overall, we have a net change of a reduction of 59 students from the comparable time last school year. So you can see how our trend is on page 48, and 47 is my memo.
Are there any questions about the fall housing report? This is an annual report we do at this time every year. We also do the 10-day counts at the beginning of each semester. We do utilize the fall housing report to estimate trends that we've been seeing for staffing.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
So then our next and final report is the update on fall housing, or I'm sorry, fall housing, on the update on remote learning. So let me share my screen, but obviously it's also in your board packet. Okay. Okay, so the first couple slides in the report are just slides that I include every time in case there's any new members to the public who are reviewing the presentation. So it just gives some background. So just to summarize, we have many, many districts in the state, and we all have different circumstances that we are trying to plan for, and JT is no different. So we continue to look at our current circumstances, our daily data, logistics, and everything, and be responsive to our students' needs and the current guidelines and the circumstances we're in. And we're making data-driven decisions, and some of the information within this board presentation and update, we're making some changes for next semester in response to the data we have collected and the feedback we've received from students, parents, and staff. There's a couple metrics that we're looking at to measure student success. We are also giving the STAR data, the reading and the mathematics assessment, and that is finishing up right now. And that will be part of the update in January to see where our students began and where they grew. That's an assessment that all students are taking. And so that's also how we'll gauge maybe what our summer programming needs to be, as well as our going into next school year, because we are currently planning for next semester as well as next school year at the same time. So one of our goals for going into next semester is to increase the percent of students that are attending all classes each day. These have been pretty stagnant. And again, there's all different reasons. We're very happy that a high percentage of our students are engaging with us each day, but we would like to see the number of students attending all classes improve. So we are making a change to the schedule for next semester to have more consistency for students, because we do think that that might be one of the obstacles based on feedback. And I'm happy to answer questions, obviously, at the end, but also if you have any questions about any slide, just let me know as we're progressing along as well. As the other metric that we're looking at is where students are with grades. And so this is something we check on a daily basis. And so this was updated, obviously, last week before the board packet went out. So at that time, almost 67% of all grades were A, B, and C. And then we're also looking at the percent of overall grades that are failing. And I'm happy to say since this time, we pulled this again today, and I believe we're under 20% now. And staff are still working with students, but this is the last week of the semester. So I will include the semester data in my update next semester. So some of the things that we implemented this year, we found that we had some obstacles, and some things that we implemented, we are looking to expand. And so just some things that we've been able to accomplish, there's areas for improvement, and then I think there's also a lot of areas to be very proud of. In talking to staff, and thinking about what we've planned and implemented with everyone's help since March until right now, and obviously with the board support, there's a lot to be proud of. There's still a lot of work to do, and the work that all educators are going to have to do for the next several years is going to be different than the work we were doing before. And so there's a lot of things that we've piloted, and we thank the board for the approval of many of these specialized programs, but there are things that we're looking to do a little differently next semester, and then things we're looking to build upon. So the first area that I think is a really big strength So I want to thank Mrs. McDonald and our instructional coaches and technologists and teachers and administrators who have been implementing. But we have implemented a lot of professional development. And so going into next semester, there's professional development that we will keep on track with. And then there's additional professional development that we're going to add in to supplement and to support the needs of teachers. So one of the things we're really proud of to point out is our circle sessions, which have provided additional support to our staff and many of the practices that have been demonstrated by our wonderful circle facilitators. We're seeing teachers push into their own classrooms. And so that is very exciting. One of the areas that we are going to add more professional development in, including the Institute Day, is cultural responsiveness, which goes along with the board and the district's commitment to anti-racism. So we have facilitators that are working on that right now, and we have tracks planned for Institute Day. And so between our cultural responsiveness and our restorative justice that we started pre-COVID, it served us really well, and our facilitators are doing an awesome job. And then, as the board knows, two of our areas of focus are math and our English language learner population. So our cohorts of teachers will continue meeting and receive specialized professional development in each of those areas. Online tutoring is going very well. We have many students who have completed or have scheduled tutoring sessions. And so this is a program that we believe is going to exist post-COVID. Obviously, we'll want in-person as well as virtual tutoring, but we are excited to be able to pilot. I think this is a long time coming. And because we have the technology and our students have the ability to connect outside of school hours using their technology, this is definitely something we look to evaluate in the future and see what kind of difference it's making. But we do believe this has that staying power post-COVID. Gateway to Graduation, this is our current program for seniors. As you know, we had to eliminate advisory and lunch from the schedule. And so due to that, that did eliminate overloads for students. So students who may have been able to graduate with that extra class period no longer had that opportunity. So what we decided to do was implement our APEX curriculum that we have. And so these individuals are able to do their normal school day and then outside asynchronously complete classes that are needed for graduation. This is also something that we will continue to enroll students in based on first semester. So we will identify seniors who maybe weren't successful in a class needed for graduation. So this enrollment will continue into second semester. And this is completely virtual remote. This is not in person. Parent-teacher conferences. So I want to thank again our wonderful team members. We really, really believe this was a success. And I shared with the entire staff and along with Mrs. McDonald last Friday, which seems like it was a long time ago, but it really wasn't. We are working right now on a plan to implement the evening hours this spring that we talked about when we first presented this to the board. And so based on our current plans, I will be bringing a recommended amended calendar for the spring that would include the parent-teacher conference day and evening hours, which would actually almost double the number of conferences per teacher. And so we shared that with staff on Friday, and we're still collecting questions and input, and that recommendation would come in January. Another piece that we really think is important is we plan to do the parent-teacher conferences at the midpoint of the semester instead of this time it worked out, and because of timing it had to be it had to be in November, right before Thanksgiving break. And we think parent-teacher conferences would be better implemented if it was at that midpoint. So we're very excited about that. At that time, I will also bring the recommended calendar for next school year. So we are planning for both at the same time as all schools are right now. Credit recovery is something that we have implemented for several years, if not maybe a decade now. But when we first brought this to the board in an update, we were going to do in-person and remote. Due to the current community transmission rates, we are going to do everything remotely over winter break. And these are the courses that we are offering. Due to the pandemic, we are going to do this at no cost to families. We are going to leverage grant funding for payroll, and we will evaluate the success of that. But due to CARES money and grant funding, we have the ability to utilize grant for that funding this year. And so that is how we plan to proceed with winter credit recovery. In the past, the cost has been $75. Again, we'll evaluate this and see how it goes, but we want to remove any obstacles or as many obstacles as possible for students and families. We do plan to resume in-person support semester two. So this was also shared with staff on Friday. And so we're going to institute a quarantine period for students coming into the building due to holidays. There may be isolated students who need to come in for testing or for certain supports, but for the majority of any students, they're not gonna report back until January 19th. We have just seen that sometimes with the holidays, you see that it takes about 2 weeks to see how the COVID numbers are going to rise. And so still keeping with, you know, ensuring the safety of our students and staff, we think that this is the best course of action. But at that date on January 19th, we would continue with the AVAC transition instructional students. We also hope to launch our EL bilingual. We have identified bilingual paraprofessionals. So we're excited to be able to offer additional supports in that area. And then also, we are very excited to begin the Gateway to Graduation Program 2.0 that targets juniors. Letters have been sent out from both campuses, and we are getting very positive responses from families. So we are excited. We have identified staff, and that again will start on the 19th. One of the changes that we need to make is the modification to the schedule, meaning the daily schedule for students and teachers. So we've surveyed and we've gotten feedback that, first of all, students need additional time between classes. We had experience with 10 minutes and we had experience with 5 minutes. And what we've heard is going from Zoom class to Zoom class can take additional time depending on your technology and your Wi-Fi. And also the same thing for teachers, because they're ending and starting a class, and at times students want to talk to them after class. And so in order to be able to do that, they need a little bit extra time. So we believe the modified schedule will still allow for professional development for staff, and there will be no more confusion regarding yellow and gray days because they're all going to be the same. So if we look at that, this slide just demonstrates that all the days are the same. And when we look at it more closely, 40-minute periods, 10-minute passing periods, also it's the same schedule if we're able to implement the hybrid. And what a benefit of the 10-minute passing periods is that we have very large buildings and we could actually dismiss certain classrooms at different times and do staggered dismissals, which would reduce the number of students in the hallway. We know we can social distance in the classrooms, the hallways are a little bit more challenging, so that 10 minutes would allow probably for ease of traffic and more monitoring to ensure social distancing. We would still have the office hours, as you can see in the afternoon, and we would still target Mondays and Fridays as the professional development time embedded in there, as well as faculty and district meetings. I shared a lot of health safety metrics, so I'm not sharing those that information again, but just to reiterate, as the school district, we are very concerned in watching community transmission. While we believe that our schools are very safe and we can follow the guidance, we're part of the community. So we're responsible for ensuring that we do what we can to not increase community transmission. And then also, we know that when the numbers are high in our community, there's more of a likelihood that they could come into the building. To date, we still have not had any known cases of COVID being transmitted. So we're very happy with that. We'd like to keep it that way. And so we're still using the metric guidance by the counties, and we're really looking and hopeful that we can get to minimal community transmission, because we believe that that is at a time, if we were consistently there, that perhaps we'd have the opportunity to implement the hybrid. Though I will say that we also have to look at the logistics of being able to do that at that time. So we'll be looking at both. So when we look at community transmission, as you can see visually, the entire state is still in a bad place. The blue area is Champaign County, and as you probably know, they do testing on a daily basis at the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. If you take that out of the county's numbers, they would also be with the same color as the rest of the state in substantial community transmission or moderate. So to the data points that we really look at for community transmission are test positivity. So here's some good news. So for test positivity, we hit that over 20%, and we all need to be mindful that what the minimal is, the threshold, is weekly test positivity less than 5%. I wanna say when I looked today, I think it was around 14% for Will County. And so we look at the region, we look at the county, and we look at the zip codes. So here's some good news, it's going down, but it's still about three times the minimal threshold. So we can't be too celebratory yet, but we can certainly be hopeful. The case rate per 100K in Will County, just to remember, it's the minimum threshold is 50 per 100,000. In November, we were over 700. We have seen it dip down, but now we've seen it creep up a little bit again, and it's still near 600, you know, according to this graph. So obviously that is still substantial community transmission. This next graph, and I apologize for no numbers here, there's no way to go back to, this is the data that was shared over the Thanksgiving holiday. There's no way to go back and get these two data numbers, so I just have before and after. So the thing I want to point out on this is what we're really looking at is test positivity and new case per 100,000, which are the two data points I just shared. And I'll explain in contrast to the numbers here. These really give us those minimum thresholds, moderate, substantial. Obviously, we're in substantial, and you can see the numbers where we're currently at as of the last time it was updated. Like I said, it's at about, I think, 14.6 today for our county. So it has dropped down, so that's the good news. The new cases, these work a little differently. You have to get a certain, to be considered substantial, you have to have a certain percentage above the number you had before. So what's confusing about this when you look at this is, I'll just take November 7th. So November 7th was considered substantial because in comparison to the week before, it grew at the substantial rate. Here's a very similar number, but because it's going down, which is good news, that's in the positive direction. So that's how that one works. But so that's why I think we need to be mindful of these. But because if we look, obviously 4,100 is much different than 813 when we were at more of a minimal rate for test positivity, or where it was actually going into the minimal threshold. We were closer to that 5%. Youth case increase works the same way, but again, you can see that we have more youth case increases than we were seeing earlier on in the semester. So we're still gonna pull this data because I think it's good to just see where things are going and trending. But the two data points to consider going back into hybrid, I believe, are these two top transmission rates. The zip code data, I won't read this to you, but pull this at the end of every week. And you can see that there's some progress that has been made since mid-November, but all of those rates are still much higher than the threshold, and most are triple, and some even still quadruple what the minimum threshold is. So we pull this. These are all the zip codes that feed into our districts. As far as our updated logistical metrics that we look at, so there's two parts that have been updated since last time. November, I only had partial data because we meet, you know, mid-month. So that has been updated. Something that's important to note is in November, we had no athletics. We had very little staff in any of the buildings, and we suspended most of the in-person supports. And we still had 75 totals when we're looking at quarantines. Another important data point, I think, to point out is last month when I shared the data, of all the individuals quarantined to date, we had 24 individuals who also tested positive for COVID. And within the last month, we've had now an additional, 16, 17? And this is data through the 10th. So this does not include any data that we've collected after the 10th. So what is in red is our current December numbers, and then I'll update those for the board in January. We also are tracking staff with underlying medical conditions for self and household, as well as childcare issues. And so for staff members with medical conditions for self or household, that has increased by 3. And childcare issues has increased by 4. We have seen that many daycares have had to shut down or open and close due to COVID. And so we do anticipate that if community transmission continues to be at the rate it is or goes higher, that we would continue to see staff having issues with childcare. So in conclusion, our next steps are to obviously conclude the semester. It's seemed like the longest and shortest semester we've ever experienced at the same time, which has been interesting for all of us. Review the data to determine what additional supports and programs need to be planned and implemented during second semester and during the summer for both students and staff. So what professional development do we still need to implement, and what type of some of the conversations we're having right now, how do we provide support to those students who are transitioning from eighth grade into ninth grade? How do we support the students who really struggled this school year with remote learning? Specifically, we are thinking of our freshmen who to date have never stepped foot in their high school. So there's a lot to consider. You know, this summer may be a combination of in-person and remote. Obviously, we're all hopeful that the vaccine can get distributed. There's still, I think, information and timelines to better understand about that, but we are excited that that has occurred or is starting to occur in our community. According to the Regional Office of Education meeting we had with the Will County Health Department, a little under 2,500 medical personnel in Will County will be or are already starting getting the vaccine. So that's the good news, and hopefully more to come. Prepare to resume the in-person supports, as I talked about, and implement that Gateway to Graduation 2.0 program, and then continue to review community transmission metrics and make recommendations to the board on a monthly basis. I know last semester, I made the recommendation for every 6 weeks. I think with the more we know about the data, I'm currently recommending, based on our current rates, that we stay remote until February 16th. And then I would bring another recommendation in January based on the data we have at that time. I think we could make recommendations on a monthly basis for the remainder of the school year. And then really continue planning for next school year, which there's still a lot of unknowns, but we've also learned a lot. And so we would continue to utilize that learning and our data to make sure we have the needed supports for next school year. And I am happy to answer any questions.
Dr. Guzman,
yes.
Can you go back one screen?
Yes.
The screen before that screen.
Sure.
I should have asked the question.
No, actually. It's okay. It's okay. So let me go back. I think it's just catching up. This screen, Mr. Edmond?
The next one, sorry.
This screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Was there a tremendous issue in October concerning your teachers and your substitute teachers during that time? I see in October there was 28, then you went to 9, then you already at 9 now.
We had in-person programs. Okay. That were happening. Okay. At that time.
Okay.
And again, we have been proceeding with an abundance of caution. So okay. if anybody had any type of symptom, we wouldn't let them come in the building. If they experienced anything while they were here, they were sent home, and we would have them quarantine until they got tested. And so that's why those numbers are that way. Also, that's when we started seeing the community transmission increase. So okay. That's also due to exposures that individuals okay. had. So, okay. And because we still are going to, we allow staff to work from the buildings because our buildings are large enough to do that because okay. individuals might have technology issues. So parapros or teachers, people, they're able to work from the building. So that's why I believe that number is that high.
Okay. Okay. So when our students and the percentage of them, when they, the percentage of the having failing grades, is it somewhat because of the remote learning? Do we bring them into school or how do we capture them? What are we doing again?
Yes. And so the special education students for the instructional program of in-person support, those were students that were identified that were struggling, and we identified,
we
looked at attendance and grades. We have continued to identify students, and those students are the students we plan to expand in-person support second semester. The other thing that we believe is really, really important, weren't able to start, nobody knew how this semester was going to go. Okay. And so we were not able to start some of the in-person support until, I want to say, end of September, then mid-October. And so we do think starting from near the beginning of second semester will have a more profound impact on students who are struggling, because what we did find is students who are coming in, they did increase their grades, maybe not all their grades, but they increased their success. So we do believe that's essential moving forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I don't necessarily have a question, but just with the semester winding down, I wanted to thank all of you, obviously, for all your hard work, and then everybody, teachers, parapros. I know our security's been doing some other duties as assigned, different, that everybody's stepping up and really making this process work. The boots on the ground for JT, just my hat goes off to everybody, because this is not possible without all your work.
Our staff has been tremendous. And I know I say this all the time, and I think I said it to a couple of you this week too. I'm so happy personally that my kids go to this district. I believe our programs and what we've been able to do during this time, there's a lot of work to do. It's not perfect, but Joliet Township High School is second to none.
I don't have a question. I just have a couple of comments. So I have to prepare to start putting all of our trauma therapy groups online, because we weren't able to meet in person. And just the amount of work for 1 hour, 1 hour for caregivers, 1 hour for teenagers, 1 hour for 3 to 6 year olds, 1 hour for 7 to 11 year olds. It's taken me more time to do that than an entire year of groups. And that just, I mean, I already give my hats off to administration and staff and students, but I just felt that in a whole different way recently. I do want to say again, I hear things all the time, people are falling behind, students are falling behind. I do want to say that I see that and I hear them, and I feel for the kids that are. I also want to remind people again that they're also being resilient, and they're also surviving a pandemic that we haven't had in over 100 years. That's a big deal, and we need to give them kudos for that, and everybody that's working so hard to carry them and help them. Also, the parent-teacher conferences, that's just amazing, and that's phenomenal. And during a time when communication is more important than ever, and giving parents and teachers and everybody a time to share that is so important. To all the staff that implemented that, they're amazing. And one more thing, no cost credit recovery. So as I see every day in my work, children that are struggling already, children that already have trauma, to make them pay more because they struggle is difficult. And so I'm really glad that you're able to do that. And we have children and their families in lines for food right now. People are struggling to stay in their homes. So I just think that was really important and really great that you did that. And I know that was pre-planned, because I was writing grants for COVID funding months ago. So you guys really were very thoughtful and intentional, and just thinking of everybody and being as inclusive as possible. And that's so incredibly important. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can only just reiterate what Matt and Lorraine have said, that this has been just an incredibly trying time. Our staff, our teachers, our administration is just risen to the challenge incredibly. Thank you for that. Our students, our teachers, you've done amazing. It's positive to see the numbers coming down. We've got a vaccine coming out. Let's get through this year. Focus on the light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, hopefully much sooner than later, we're back to normal and where we can be and put this all behind us. But thank you also to our parents for being so understanding and so helpful to your students at home to assist them getting through this. So just thank you to everyone. This is just very appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you. I also, there's no recognition or awards tonight. We did thank our staff last week through our webinar, and we have some things coming out this week that we'll definitely share with you before the holiday break.
During that time, I mean, I know you don't have any recognition of awards, but we want to thank the district for what they did for the board members and giving us those awesome sweaters from the on that board elect odds. What an appreciation week. We really, I can say for myself, and I know for the others, that that was awesome. And I was so glad to receive it. And I want to thank the administration and everyone that was that had anything to do with that. We really appreciate the gift that was given to us.
You're welcome. And we really appreciate all of your time. I know none of you do it for the money. You do it because you want to support our students in the district and our staff and our community. And it doesn't go unnoticed.
Thank you. So now we have our action items. Mm-hmm. One of our action items, number 8A, is board of education resignation, and that was Ms. Meg Kappel. It's not anything you have to vote on, but we want to definitely recognize her fine contribution to our board. She being been elected to another position, we're going to miss her, but we appreciate the value that he's given to us. And we'll talk about selection of the board a little further down. We have the recommendation to continue remote education.
Mr. Edmond, the only thing the selection of the board secretary needs to take place before the adoption of the tax levy. The timeline. So just before item D.
Okay, then. Would like to, didn't have opportunity because we were in board session and we was really covering, I didn't get opportunity to share this, but I hope that I'm not breaking any policy, but I would like to see if we'd be in agreement as a board to nominate Michelle Stiff to continue in that position until April.
So, yeah, I second that.
All right. So you second it. Any questions? Comments? If not, roll call.
Thank you.
Mr. Edmond?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Guerrero-Numer?
Yes.
Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Stiff.
So I have another person to help me sign then. So flex your muscles and your finger muscles. Okay. So going back to recommendation to continue remote education, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
So you second and so moved?
Well, I yield to Matt, so I'll take the.
Thank you.
Any questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Edmond?
Yes.
Mrs. Guerrero-Numer?
Yes.
Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Adoption of the 2020 tax levy. Have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Questions, comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to comment. So what we have here is the final recommendation for the tax levy. From last meeting, presented the tax levy to the board. It has been on file for the 10 required days. Essentially, this is 74.9% of the revenues that were received for the district. And so we received the majority of our funding locally. The board approves the tax levy, must file with the clerk's office by next Tuesday.
All right. There's no more questions or comments?
Just thank you for your work, call, Dr. Hampton.
Great work, yes, yes, yes. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Edmund?
Yes.
Mrs. Guerrero-Numer?
Yes.
Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Motion to approve summer food service program. Got a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any questions or comments?
Yes. So what this is, each year, if the district decides not to provide summer food program, we must opt out by January 15th. So just want to give a little history. So it started in 2008. That was the first time that we actually operated this program. Since 2008, we have not as a district. And part of that is that with the food service program, you are not to run in the negative, either to break even, or if you make profit, those profit goes back into the food service program. And the other piece to that is other districts surrounding our area also provide the summer program. So it's spread out, you know, amongst the community. However, with that, we know with the pandemic that there's some things that's happening out there. We believe that the state board will allow us to continue with the summer, with the food program during the summer. So this past summer, we did offer curbside lunch and breakfast for any student who actually came to pick up, meaning any student between ages 0 to 18 could pick up breakfast and lunch from really any site that was offering that. We believe that that's going to happen again, and that's beneficial because then it doesn't matter whether you're free, reduced, or full pay. If you're a student 0 to 18, you can pick up a lunch. So we believe that that's going to continue, but we just go through this formality because if it doesn't, then we may need to look at doing something different for the summer if that's to occur. And then the other piece to this is we did look at what they call the CEP program last year, right? The community eligibility provision, which basically allows, if we're at a certain threshold, it allows us to allow free national and breakfast lunch program for every student. So we will be reviewing that within a year from now. We did say that every 2 years, we will go through that process to determine what that eligibility is and if we're losing money. The last time we did this last year, we would have lost over $300,000 because of the disparity between Central and West. So we did say that every 2 years we would do that, and we will definitely do that this time next year to see where we are. And we're just going to keep a pulse on how things are happening because we know with this pandemic, potentially this may speed up that process, right? Because we know there's a lot of families that's impacted due to the pandemic. So we're definitely watching this very carefully and just keeping a pulse on what's happening in our community and with our families.
Thank you, Dr. Hampton, for those explanation. So can I get a motion to approve?
We have the motions, Mr. Edmund.
I mean, can I get roll call, sorry.
That's okay, yes. Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Edmund?
Yes.
Mrs. Guerrero-Numer?
Yes, yes, yes.
Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
We got donations. Motion to approve.
So moved. I give it to Andrew.
Second.
Questions or comments?
Just thank you to Paul Darren and Deb Cole. Those were the two that donated this time. You know, all donations always, always, always helpful. So thank you to them.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
Mr. Ellison?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Edmund?
Yes.
Mrs. Guerrero-Numer? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Mrs. Guerrero-Numer?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Second reading of the board policies, policy 240. Let me see something here. Is that a group?
Yes, there's two policies there, Mr.
There's two of them policies, right? Now I see two policies. You got G1, district organization and operations and cooperative agreement, and G2.6 is curricular. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
Mr. Ellison?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Edmund?
Yes.
Mrs. Guerrero-Numer?
Yes.
Okay, personnel reports, H1, okay, through 11?
11 if you can't see it, Frank.
Yeah. Right, I see it now, is 11? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? Come. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Guerrero-Numer?
Yes.
Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
Mr. Ellison?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Edmund?
Yes. So now we have the unfinished business of anti-racism commitment. There's going to be a continued process. We're always going to be an advocate of any anti-racism. We're going to be very supportive of in that role. Any comments?
Mr. Edmund, I can give just a little bit of an update because where we're at with some of our initiatives. So as I stated earlier, we are going to continue with our circle sessions, and we are merging our cultural responsiveness within our circle training. So it's SEL and cultural responsiveness together. So the teams have merged, and we're really excited about that. There's been a lot of work. We have our institute sessions, where teachers are going and staff are going to be able to pick tracks that are related to cultural responsiveness. And then also Dr. Hampton and I continue to work with Mr. Troy Cicero, and he is updating for our second pilot with administrators, and tentatively he's going to be doing our second training with administrators on January 19th. And this is the training that he's piloting with administrators that we plan to do with students. And so we plan to start with our student ambassadors, Ms. Schlichtman, myself, Ms. Wooten, and Mr. Locke co-facilitate our student ambassadors union We've had a couple meetings. The group is wonderful. And so this includes students from 9th to 12th grade, including students from AVAC in transition. So we're going to get feedback from all of these students, and then we plan then to push that forward to larger groups of students. So that's part of our strategic plan. We want to bring student voice into the room. So our commitment as a district to anti-racism started way before the injustice that was witnessed this summer. And we're proud to push it forward, and we believe that it's put us in a better place for right now and as well as post-COVID. So we're really excited about the work that's being done, and I will ensure that you're all kept up to date.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Now, the new business, do you want to touch bases on that, Dr. Guzman?
Sure. So as you know, we subscribe to PRESS. So all of these updated policies are part of PRESS 106. You should have received my summary that hopefully helps as you are reviewing the policies. And I want to thank Ms. Rico for helping me always put that together. We've reviewed all of the policies. There was only one policy that had a question associated with it. And the rationale is in there as well. Most of these policies are just legal stylistic updates. There's not really anything that I would need to point out unless there's any questions, but just as a reminder, we'll come back and be recommending these for adoption at our January board meeting. But I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any.
No, but a thank you for the way that you summarize all of it. It makes it much easier to dissect, that's for sure.
Again, yes. Mrs. Rico is fantastic in supporting us in that. So, and all the administrators.
That's a thank you for everyone involved. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for how you summarized that. Makes it easier on all of us. Board reports. Since there was a little failure of communication on my part, I wanted to kind of put out a question to the board because we didn't finalize our closed session. I wonder, should we make a motion or should we put it into a next week's closed session to finish that discussion that we had, because I didn't hear of where we were or where we ended, or should we go into closed session after this meeting?
We can go back into closed if you didn't, because I know you did, you had some technical difficulties at the end, so
right.
I got no problem with that.
I just want to hear if all the other board members are okay with it. Don't have to be long. I like to just finalize it so that we can give guidance to the administration on the timeline and all that that we were discussing before.
That's fine. I'm okay with it.
You okay? All right.
So if I could, we have a couple announcements before I believe the board has to make a motion to go into
closed
session.
I wanted to go to that announcement, and then I was going to make a motion to go into closed session.
Thank you. And I don't know if the board members have any announcements before I go. This is so awkward on this virtual.
I do. Because I went to the virtual summit and it was phenomenal. So thank you guys. So the virtual summit that was held on November 19th was phenomenal. The opening keynote speaker, I was using a shortcut. The opening keynote speaker, his name was Baratunde Thurston. And he talked about diversity, equity, and inclusion. and he was just phenomenal. And he talked about how we can strategically integrate to build businesses and organizations and societies that recognizes the value in all people. So if you have the link, I think it expires December 20th, I encourage you to watch it. There was one other session that that really stood out for me, and it's a program that's being done at Harrisburg School District, and it's called Overcoming Generational Poverty. And they looked at their kids that were struggling, and provided an ACES survey, and found out that a lot of kids were struggling in multiple areas. And so they implemented a program called The Matrix. And that too, it just resonated with me because they have a high, low socioeconomic population there. And this is why the program, this is why they initiated the ACES questionnaire in the first place. And so again, please go and listen to that series, session. It was really phenomenal. And I think we could benefit from that. So I thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Stiff, for your feedback from the meeting. Thank you so much for giving us that information. Hopefully we can take advantage of it before the 20th. Any other announcements?
Yes.
Are there
Mrs. Rico has a couple announcements for the board.
We have been given new laptops for the Board of Education. So after the first, I actually have them right behind me. I'm thinking after the holidays, if you want to call me and just set up a time to come in, we'll get you certified, have you come in, make sure that everything that you need is on the desktop, and make sure that you can log in and your password. We'll get that set in the meet, but you would bring me your old laptop, obviously, and we'll swap them out. Also, the tax levy has to be signed tomorrow. So Mr. Edmond and Mrs. Stiff, I will be contacting you for signatures. If you're out and about and like to step in, or I can definitely come your way. You're both very close. So I'll contact you tomorrow after 9. Thank you, Dr. Guzman.
We can come tomorrow. That's what you're saying.
Thank you.
Yes. I think the laptops couldn't come any sooner because I've been trying to turn on my laptop and it's just black. It won't turn on. So
I just want to thank Dr. Hampton and technology department for making this happen so quickly. So thank you. And we're sorry for the inconvenience that some of you have been having.
I'm surprised you guys got them. Those things are hard to get now with everybody getting to one and one because they're remote. So kudos to you guys. Thank you.
I really appreciate for technology buying me a Mac. You know, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think I went there, dropped my computer off, and I think she emailed me like an hour later. She's like, yeah, and I was just like,
the only other announcement I have, and Mr. Edmond, no, I checked my email. I have not received any further public comment during the board meeting. I sent a new link to the closed session for the board because you can't enter through the old link. You have to go with the new link so that we can record it for Open Meetings Act.
Okay. That's great. But before I go into that, I put on a motion before that, I need to close this session first, right?
Yeah.
So there's no other comments. We'd like to thank everyone for being in this open meeting. And now, can I get a motion to conclude this session?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Contreras?
Aye.
Mr. Ellison?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Edmund?
Yes.
Mrs. Guerrero-Numero?
Yes.
Okay, I would like to have a motion to move into closed session.
I believe that was your motion, Mr. Edmund. No? Or did I miss that? I'm sorry.
No, that was a motion to close the open meeting.
I apologize. I'm sorry. Okay.
So moved.
I'm learning too now. I said now I'm getting beat up now because I didn't do it right.
I apologize.
No, you got it right, Frank. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I get a gold star for that one, right? Y'all forgot about that. I'm old school. So motion to go into closed session. Oh, wait a minute. Let me stop you all. Motion to go into closed session.
So we got to use that other link though, right, Carla?
Correct. The one I just sent. It's in either your Outlook or I sent it in an email. So use the new link.
Okay.
And then if I go into motion and we second go roll call, could I say we'll come back in 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Could I still do that?
We can just end, the board can end in closed session unless there's something to go back and do and the.
No. I'm just saying, give us a little break to go into that sure. Link.
I'll get it started and wait for however long all the board members need.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll come back in 5 minutes, guys. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. In 5 minutes, hopefully pray for my connection. And don't be smiling, Matthew. I see you. All right. Thank you.
All right. We just need a second for the motion to go.
Second.
Thank you.
A second.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Mrs. Guerrero-Numero?
Yes.
Mr. Contreras?
I think he left.
Yeah.
Mr. Ellison?
Yes.
Mrs. Stiff?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Edmund?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you.
I'll see you guys in about 5 or 7 minutes, okay?
Everyone have a safe, healthy holiday and Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
You too, Dr. Yes. Hampton.
You too, Dr.
I'll see
Hampton.
You tomorrow,
you
Tanya.
You
okay.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yes, you too, Ms.
Happy holidays.
Miss Diane.
Diane.
I'll be here tomorrow. You can stop by.
Okay.